Here are a few headlines that you might think are fake, but they're real. One is, church sweats to death because heat is stuck. With 3 weeks, we had no heat. Now it's stuck. It's literally on AC right now, and it won't work. So we're opening a door and trying to get... Careful what you wish for. You might get it. Here are a few of the headlines you think might not be real. Dogs cannot get autism, British Veterinary Association warns, after anti-vax movement spreads to pets. University student who filmed roommates in the shower asked for privacy. Pizza delivery man gets $180,000 settlement after being crushed by 400 pounds of cheese. That was actually a Domino's. Anxiety grows as good news is announced. So the first three are real. The last one I made up just a little. And when I say I made up, I didn't find an exact news article that said that. But it is based entirely on fact. The reality is we don't always like good news. As a matter of fact, good news can cause a lot of stress, worry, and anxiety in our life. What one person calls good news, somebody else might not think is good news at all. Take any sporting event, baseball, football, whatever it is that's your favorite. It's good news when one team wins. To everyone who was cheering for them, for everyone who was cheering for the other team, it's not great news. So if that can cause a disruption in our life, we can get a little emotionally reactive to that. Think about things that actually matter in our lives. Researchers actually call it happiness anxiety. But you know what happiness anxiety is. You know it because you've probably at one point in your life thought this or said it. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. It means, yes, that's fine. The good thing that happened is fine, but I know another thing's coming. I saw the good thing. I hear about the good thing. I hear you. The good thing. It's good. Got it. But that's not all there is to the story. You're anticipating something negative happening. For every bit of good news, we think there's probably some kind of bad thing that will equal it out. So that does cause us anxiety. Maybe you think, well, I don't react to good news that way. I'm a glass half full kind of person. Well, let me see if any of this sounds familiar to you. It causes anxiety because we have a fear of the unknown. So something good happens. Somebody says, hey, good news. So-and-so is changing jobs. Good news. We're getting a new house. Good news. Somebody's pregnant. We begin to wonder how that news is going to impact our future and how we're going to navigate it. So we start feeling insecure about our ability to navigate the new circumstances. We get what's called imposter syndrome. Something good happens to us and we feel like, A, maybe we don't deserve this. This shouldn't have happened to us. So we start feeling insecure. Then we start feeling like we've got to earn it. Okay, well, this has happened. Now I need to start living my life in a way that shows that I deserve this. Or we think someone's going to find out, hey, you're actually kind of a loser. You're actually kind of a jerk. You don't deserve this. And so we think we're going to get exposed. So we don't deserve the good news in our life. Or maybe we've had enough past experiences. We've had enough circumstances to where something good comes along and we know there's going to be something that'll come along not too long after that's going to screw everything up. We just know. We just know that's how it goes. It won't last long, so we don't want to get too excited. We don't want to be too happy because it's all going to be taken from us. So we kind of maintain that skeptical, cynical point of view. Or maybe finally we are just... comparing ourselves to others, our news maybe doesn't feel as good as the news someone else got. Or maybe we think they're comparing themselves to us and we start feeling insecure about that. Or we're just too worried about what other people think happened in our life. Lisa and I, being in ministry, have often worried about what people think. If they come to our home, if they see what I'm driving. And I'm telling you, like, we have five-year-old cars or 10-year-old cars, or the fact that we bought our house super, super cheap and it's taken us like 8 years of just saving up to renovate, and then we do a little more and renovate and do a little more to renovate. We're worried that someone's going to come along and go, oh, wow, must be nice, right? Well, I wish I lived like that. So we're always worried about what good things happen to us. Now, I'm about to say something that I think most of you will agree with, but you're probably maybe a little bit reluctant to say out loud, and it's this. The worst kind of news is the good news that God brings us. I mean, think about it for just a second. The good news of the Bible, the good news of the New Testament is this. Good news, Jesus is born. Good news, Jesus says that God wants a relationship with us. Good news, Jesus can heal. He does all these wonderful things, says all these wonderful things, lives this wonderful way, and then they kill him. That's the good news. The good news is Jesus, being perfect, gets crucified for it. So what chance do you and I stand? Being imperfect. So even the good news of the gospel is really kind of, if you're being honest, it's a tough sell that it's good news. So good news can cause some stress in our life. I mean, we're in Christmas season, right? Which absolutely love. And I just scored the biggest score in my entire life. If you can't tell, very subtle hints, but we're Disney fans, right? And I got this with Pastor Appreciation gift cards, by the way. So Lowe's and Home Depot are like Disney paradises during Christmas. They sell a bunch of Disney stuff. Well, they often have these like animatronic figures, these big animatronic Disney characters. And Lowe's had this one they released like in October when they started putting up their Christmas stuff. And it's a big 7.5 foot tall animatronic Mickey that moves and sings and tells the story the night before Christmas. And it's really cool, but it sells out immediately. And then the only way you can buy it is on eBay for twice the price. So our local Lowe's here had it. And I talked to the area manager and said, hey, could I buy the floor model? My granddaughter would love it. Who cares about my granddaughter? I would love it. He goes, no, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to sell. I was like, oh man, is there anywhere I can get it? Like, so I'm really trying to, you know, gosh, my granddaughter, she's got a very rare disease called Mickeyitis, and it's only curable by seeing a 7.5 foot Mickey on my porch. So he's typing on the computer, and he's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, man." I was like, "Oh, that's a bummer." So they don't let you sell it, you know. So now I'm appealing to his like ego, like, "Oh, you're not allowed to. You don't have the power to do that." They just don't give you guys any authority, do they? That's rough, man. I wouldn't even feel like a man if I were you, because. Whew, anyway, well, I'm going to let you get back to doing what you're told. So he goes, I tell you what, come back next Wednesday. I work from noon to 9, and just remind me and I'll sell you the floor model. And so I will tell you that I Teresa cuts my hair, and I said, hey, got to run, got to get over to Lowe's. And I did. I disassembled him, threw him in the house. So, anyway, that's all to say that I will go to great lengths to celebrate Christmas. We love, love, love Christmas. It's all based on this celebration and good news. It's a season of good news. But I will also tell you this. This is the highest season for anxiety and depression and suicide and fights with family. Good news doesn't always translate well in our lives. So pull out your notes if you don't already have them out. God's definition of good news isn't always the same as mine, because number one, God's timing is usually different than mine. God's timing is usually different than mine. So I remember when Lisa became pregnant with Caleb, we weren't married very long at all, and we had just moved away from California to southern Missouri to a town called Lebanon. And at the time, Lebanon only had about 5,000 people. We were at a large church there. They had about 400 or 500 in the church. So nearly 10% of the population was part of this church. And we were going there as youth pastors. and really excited. It was kind of our first full-time position. But Lisa was heartbroken to be away from her family. And I mean, like, thousands of miles. It wasn't, you can just hop in the car. It's like a three-day drive to get back. And, you know, we were very young and starting out, so we were very poor, and the idea of just being able to fly her home. So she knew it was going to be very, very long periods of time before she could see her family. So we decided she needed a friend. And the only way we were going to do that is just make her a friend, right? So we had heard about this thing where you could have babies. And so we researched it and looked how to do it. And so we started trying nearly right away. And Lisa is like, you know, was fertile. I could just look at her from across the room and we knew that it would result in pregnancy. So she's pregnant right away. And when we found out she was pregnant, you know, we took the test, and then back then, tests were kind of not as accurate. So you would go to the doctor and they would do a blood test, right? Actually, back when we got married in California, you had to do a blood test to get married, right? And so we took the blood test, and it was, you know, congratulations, you're pregnant. And we were absolutely thrilled. We were so excited. And so we started telling everyone. Now, can I tell you why that was good news? But at a different time, that would have been terrible news. If it had just been, because when we found out she was pregnant, we were only 6 or 7 months into our marriage. If you had just rewound the clock just 6 or 7 months and found out she was pregnant on the day we got married or before we got married, it would not have been good news. Now I'm not trying to shame anybody or make anybody feel badly about anything, but we were Christ followers and we wanted to do it the biblical way, and the Bible specifically says that sex is to be contained in marriage, and so we wanted to honor God with that. But just as importantly, we were going into ministry, and the idea of going into ministry and having a wife who's pregnant before marriage is not a good start in ministry. Reputationally, it doesn't look like you have self-control. And so that would have been, so the only difference between her being pregnant at one point or being pregnant at another point, that being good news or bad news, is solely about timing. Just 6 months can make all the difference in the world. Now, I want you to kind of keep that in mind. Timing is really important on whether something is good news or bad news. Let me read a passage of scripture to you that I'm sure you're familiar with. And this is a bit about how Jesus came into the world. When Elizabeth's baby, this is Mary's cousin, by the way, had grown inside her for nearly 6 months. So she was 6 months pregnant. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Nazareth is a town in Galilee. Gabriel went there to visit a young woman. Her name was Mary. So there's this historical background. If you read before this, it's all the lineage of what leads to Jesus. And then now is the story of how Jesus came to be. Her name was Mary, and she had never had sex with anyone. And she had promised to marry a man called Joseph. So I'm going to pause real quick. In Jewish tradition, when you're engaged, it's much more serious than the way we are. Engagement is the equivalent of being married. It is, you are committed to each other. There's no backing out. Remember, there was no legal version of marriage. It was purely a spiritual agreement, okay? So being engaged was much more serious. It was almost the same as being married. And she promised to marry a man called Joseph. He belonged to the family of King David, which was a very big deal. Gabriel went to Mary and said, "Hello, Mary, the Lord God loves you very much. He's very near to you." And remember, this was a time when we didn't have the presence of God in our lives like we do today. God was a place, a location. They would have to go to the temple, and God's presence resided in the Holy of Holies. So God wasn't near them like he is. God's very near you. Mary had a lot of problems in her mind about Gabriel's message. All right? This is just God speaking to her and saying, God's really close to you and he loves you very much. She did not understand what he meant. Then Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." So he's responding. She's has troubles. She's afraid. God has been very kind to you, right? This is like somebody going, okay, don't react. When I say that, don't react, but I've got some good news. It is good news. Just, you're not going to think it's good news, You're going to hate it, but this is good news, all right? God has been very kind to you. Listen, a baby boy will grow inside you. When he is born, you will call him Jesus. He will be great. People will call him the Son of the powerful God who is over all. The Lord God will make him king. He will rule. So he's really talking up this pregnancy. He will rule as his ancestor King David ruled. He will rule over the family of Jacob for all time. He will be king for all time without end. Mary asks, how can this happen? Logically, she's having trouble with this. I've never even had sex with anyone. And Gabriel answered, the Holy Spirit will come to you. The power of God who is over all will cover you like a shadow, so your child will be special to God. He will be completely good. He will be called God's son. Another thing, your cousin Elizabeth, who's very old, people said that she could not have a baby. Listen, she will also have a son. And the baby has grown inside her for nearly 6 months, and there is nothing God cannot do. So he's kind of trying to bolster this whole story. Mary answered, I am the servant of the Lord. I've heard what you've said. I want it to happen to me just like that. And then the angel left her. So I don't know. I wasn't there. We can only read into this. I don't know if Mary's response was, okay, I'm in, I guess. I tend to think that way because this must have been very, very, very hard. I would imagine Mary's question is, if this is such good news, and I want it to be good news to everybody, could we wait until Joseph and I are married so my reputation isn't destroyed, so I don't have to go to my parents and tell them that I'm pregnant, so I don't have to go to Joseph and tell him that I'm already pregnant before we get married? You see, timing's a real issue on this. And God knew all of that before. So God purposely chose really bad timing. Why? Because if you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, then it had to have been before they consummated their marriage with sex. It wouldn't have made sense. There wouldn't have been a good story. There wouldn't have been a miracle of her becoming pregnant by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear something. When God plants a seed in your life, when God is ready to birth something in your life, he's going to come to you when it feels like the absolute worst timing in your life. God, couldn't you wait until we could afford this? Until we've paid this off, or I've gotten a promotion, or until we moved, or until the kids are out of the house, or until the marriage is better, or until whatever. We've always got a reason why God's timing isn't our timing. And I want you to hear this. When God does something in your life, when he births something special in your life, he's going to choose the worst time possible to show you that it's him at work, that it couldn't possibly be circumstances working in your favor. It couldn't be timing working in your favor. It couldn't be any of the things that we often give credit to for why things went so well. Number two is this. God's definition of good news isn't always mine, because number two, God plans things in ways I never would. Now, this is possibly the most frustrating part of the way God does things, because he seems to choose purposely ways that we would not understand, ways that we would not choose, even after we've gone through it. So ask anyone who's believes that they're a part of God's plan, or they've been a part of God's plan, or God did something really cool in their lives and delivered them from something, or delivered them into something, whatever it happens to be, and they will almost always tell you, oh, if I could do it over again, I would not choose the way God did it. If I could get to these results without that path, 100% I would choose not to go that way. I don't like it all the way God did it, but I'm happy with what God did. Lisa and I know that from experience. When we were in a very, very difficult ministry situation, I remember going, our church had a prayer tower, and I went up into the prayer tower and I sobbed and I begged God. I said, I need to go from here. I need to be delivered, but I will not move without your blessing. I won't move until you tell me it's okay to. I want this so badly for me and my family. I want out of here so badly, but I will not move unless you tell me it's okay. And I genuinely put my heart and mind in a posture of obedience to him. And I really genuinely believe God told me to go. It's okay to go. You can go. And so we did. I went down that day and I resigned, and there was a little span where they kept us a little longer. I kind of, you know, let them talk me into staying a little longer, but then we ultimately left. And when we came back here, we wanted to be near family and I was going to plant a church. It was the most miserable, difficult season of our lives. It was so painful. It was so hard. I was so angry at God. I felt like he had dropped us off and just forgotten us. I felt like he had abandoned us. And then that led to relationships being developed, which led to us being invited on staff, which led to me becoming the youth pastor and director of marketing communications. And then it led to me becoming lead pastor. And I 100% believe that God made that path to this place where we're at today. Would I go back and do it God's way again? God help me. God deliver me from his will if he ever wants to do that to me again. I never want to go through that again. Am I happy with the results? Absolutely. God does things all the time that we wouldn't do. But it's because the path to great things in our life doesn't come on the path of easiness. Listen to what happens with Joseph when he gets looped in on all of this. This is how Jesus was born. A young woman named Mary, this is another gospel telling the story. Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. That all mattered to them, by the way. Doesn't matter to you probably, but mattered to them. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man, a righteous man, a virtuous man, and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. He was clearly devastated, clearly hurt, clearly upset, and clearly not buying the, how did you get pregnant again? Oh, an angel visited me, said the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow me, and I become pregnant with the Son of God. Oh, okay. And then went and said, I need to divorce her, right? So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. Other translations will say divorce. While Joseph was thinking about this, while he's planning out how to do this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said, Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then after her baby is born, name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God's giving him the same plan that he gave to Mary. So the Lord's promise came true. Just as the prophet had said, a virgin will have a baby boy and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married after, just as the Lord angel had told him to do. So I want to say again, Joseph, not on the same page as God, didn't want to do this, wanted to get out of it, can you imagine this woman who you believed was going to be your soulmate, the mother of your children, your partner in life for the rest of your lives, and the most sacred, beautiful thing that a husband and a wife share is that intimacy together that should not be shared with anyone else, and he misses out on that. She becomes pregnant, which is a joyous thing, by the way. Children, especially boys, were considered a lineage and an inheritance, a legacy that would carry on your name and your inheritance and your tradition and the values and the wealth of your family. It was something important to have that. And he got cheated of that. And sometimes we feel like when God starts working in our lives, when God comes to us with good news, we go, oh, I've seen what good news looks like when you're planning it. Loss of reputation, loss of friendship. I don't know how it affected her family. I don't know how it affected Joseph's family. I don't know what kind of friendship group they had. But I can tell you a tough thing. I doubt they went around saying, well, it's a crazy story. weirdest thing. God chose me, very, very fond of me, and I'm a fulfillment of prophecy. You might have read it. I mean, you're all Jewish, so you've read the prophecies. That's me. So, woohoo, right? I'm the, yeah. I doubt they told anybody that. So they just had to go with, yeah, she's pregnant. And no, we weren't married. And so everything they dreamed about their lives being has totally changed. Not the way we would plan it. But I want you to hear this. When God plans something in your life, a good thing, an important thing, because there could be nothing more important than God birthing into this world the Savior of all humanity, he has to choose those who are willing to say, like Mary said, and like Joseph ultimately said, I'll go with your plan. I got to be honest with you, not happy about it, really causing a ton of stress and anxiety, but I trust you and your plan more than I trust me and my plans. And that has to be a place that you cultivate, a mindset that you develop, a maturity that's nurtured in you. And then third and finally is this, God's definition of good news isn't always the same as mine, because God says things in a way that I don't always understand. So I've heard the argument from skeptics that if God was real, then why doesn't he just appear to all of us and say, I'm real, explain himself to us, do something so demonstrative, so irrefutable that we could not deny his existence. And you know what? That sounds like a great plan, except for the fact that we don't believe things that are factual, that are real, all the time. Months ago in a message series, I talked about the moon landing. Irrefutable evidence. There were more skeptics immediately after the moon landed than even today, and we're full of conspiracy theories today. But there are still millions of people that believe that the moon landing did not happen. Now, do I think that NASA probably bolstered some of it and made some things be a bit more visually welcoming to the public? Absolutely. But I don't think that there was a conspiracy that we didn't actually land on the moon. Let me move over to something that hopefully no one in here believes. There are millions of people that believe the Earth is flat. There is undeniable evidence the Earth is not, yet people still refuse to believe. My point is this, if you want to, you can make yourself not believe in anything. And if God appeared to us, it's a hologram, it's a hoax, it's AI, it's UFOs, it's aliens, we can make anything up that we want to not believe. Now, let me also say this. When God speaks, we aren't always listening. So if God were speaking to us to prove himself to be real or to talk to us about anything, God, you're so silent, you never say anything, I pray to you and I listen for you. Can I tell you this? Lisa will be in the room with me, 5 feet away from me, talking to me, and I don't realize it until like four sentences in. And then I panic. I'm like, yeah, what was the last part? And then she says the last part. And I was like, what was the very beginning part? And then the other parts that led up to the last part? What was the last 7 minutes of things you just said? She's real and in the room and physically talking to me. There's no denying that Lisa exists, and I still am not listening. Right? So are you telling me that God can't speak to us and it's just possible we're not listening? When God speaks, we don't often hear him and we don't often know what he's saying because we aren't listening in languages that he speaks, because I want you to hear this. We haven't trained our ears to listen to God as he speaks. We want God to speak as we speak. We want God to say things in ways that we would say them. Listen, the story of the angels and the shepherds is a perfect example of when God brings his presence to us. And you'd think it would be convincing, and you'd think it would be a conversion experience, and you'd think it would be this joyous experience. But let me remind you of this very simple Christmas story that we tend to only read, sadly, this time of the year. There were shepherds camping out in the neighborhood, and they set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were messengers of God and carried with them the glory of God, the radiance of God. But they were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Here again, God speaking to us directly, and it causes fear in us. Because we're not accustomed to God in our lives. We're not accustomed to the closeness and the presence and the voice and the radiance and the beauty and the holiness of God in our lives. So when he does appear to us, it causes nothing but anxiety, fear, and worry. Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event. And you know, they puckered up right then. Oh, good news from God. This is definitely not going to be good news. That is meant for everybody worldwide. And they're like, okay, well, at least everybody goes down with us. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. And this is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. God gave him specific instruction. And it says that they did go and they fled. And when they saw Jesus, then they began to report to people what they had seen and the majesty of this moment. And they were taken in by being a part of this wonderful event. But I want you to hear this. When God speaks to us, it often causes fear and an emotional reaction. We're not ready for God to say to us what he wants to say to us. I want you to hear something. God wants to speak to you. God wants to tell you his plan. God does have good news for you. He wants to birth something amazing in your life. If you've ever wondered why nothing great happens, it might be because you're fighting God's timing, that God has a plan, but he's not going to push his plan on someone who's already decided, "I'm doing things my way." And then honestly, if God's been trying to tell you his plan, but you haven't been listening, or you're not hearing what he's saying, it might be delayed because sometimes we just don't listen to him. He's speaking. I want you to know he wants to be heard and he is speaking. God has had to do some crazy things to get through to us. There's a story in the Old Testament where God literally speaks through a donkey. Where God speaks through a bush that's on fire but's not consumed by the fire. Where God communicates to his people through a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. Where God has chosen all kinds of things to just get his voice into a medium, into a vehicle that we will pay attention to. But I will tell you this. God will not stoop to using the same language by which we lie to each other, by which we criticize each other, by which we say foul and terrible things about each other, by which we judge each other, by which we spread hate and misinformation and false testimony. God will not resort to using the language of the mundane and the ordinary and the sinful in order to speak that which is holy and sacred and beautiful and eternal. There's certain things we don't expect to see in certain places. I mean, a McDonald's having a Monet or a Michelangelo sculpture or something that amazing and beautiful being in something that mundane and ordinary and pedestrian. We believe that those things should be reserved for certain places. And we don't believe that McDonald's should be served in a 5-star restaurant or in an exclusive resort. Because we know that everything has its place. And I want you to hear this. God wants to speak to you. God is speaking to you. But is it fair that we want God to dumb down his message for us when he's enabled us to tune our hearts and our minds into his voice, into his presence? The Bible says that we are co-heirs with Jesus. We can walk into the presence of God and we can sit at his feet or crawl up in his lap like a toddler into the lap of its father and smile and laugh and talk in God's presence. But God will not come while we're busy and while we're having conversations with everyone else. Have you ever called someone and they're having a conversation? Hey, hold on. And then, yeah, go ahead. Hold on a second. And you just think, not good timing. I don't want to be a part of four conversations you're having. Call me when you can talk. God's not going to come and just be a part of the busyness of our lives and try to sneak in a word edgewise. God speaks when we go to him and we settle our hearts and minds and say, I want to know if there's anything good for me. I want to know if there's a seed you want to plant in my life. I want to be a Mary or a Joseph who says, this doesn't make sense to me. Your timing is terrible. I don't like your plan at all, but I want to do what you want to do. Can I remind you of this? This is what we'll close with. Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was only moments away from being led to the cross, a brutal, horrific crucifixion on the cross. And he said to God, if there's any other way to do this, please deliver me from this plan. Can your plan be anything else? Maybe he was even asking, if I could just have more time, I'm only 33 years old, if I could just maybe get married first, if I could have kids of my own, if I could enjoy my friendships a little longer, could there be another less brutal, humiliating way to do this? I don't know all of what Jesus meant, but I do know this, he didn't want to do it God's way. But at the end of it all, he said, but not my will. I want your will in my life. And I want to tell you, God's got a plan for you and God's got good things to birth in you. And Mary and Joseph are no more special than you are. The difference is God caught them at moments in their lives when they were willing to say yes. And he just wants to catch you in a moment that you're willing to hear him and willing to consider the fact that your plans aren't always the best plans for your life, and you're willing to tune your ear to him, and you're willing to say, this is really, really horrible timing, but I'm guessing it's perfect timing, actually. This is exactly when you want to do it. And so, yes, 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 and just give me the power and ability and the courage to keep saying yes to you as your plan unfolds in my life. It's not for the weak, and it's not for the fearful. And God's plan for your life is not for the lowly of faith. It will change your life, but God will do amazing things through you. God will create legacy in you. God will, this story is being told thousands of years later. Your story can be as well. You might be the Joseph or the Mary that stories are told of because you said yes. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Nothing magical, even spiritual about that. It's just actually practical. It gives you just a second to reflect. Reflect on if God is already speaking to you about something and whether you're ready to say yes. Whether you're ready to listen. Whether you're ready to set aside your plans and your timing and just say, I've tried it my way and I think I get some results, but there's no way in my heart of hearts do I believe that I'm living up to God's potential in me, God's destiny in me, God's story in me, the thing God wants to birth in and through me. There's no way do I believe that this is all there is. And so I think I'm ready and I want to say yes. And I want good news to be something that I take with with a grain of salt and I say, I don't necessarily have to believe it's good news at this moment because I believe that God's a keeper of his promises and that God's good. And ultimately, what I see is anxiety causing and fear causing and stress causing. There's going to be something amazing that comes out because every mother in here knows that during your pregnancy, you worry about the health of that baby. You go through all the pains of being pregnant with that baby. And then you go through that painful delivery of having that baby. And you look at that child and it seems that all of that pain, all of that worry, all of that anxiety washes away as you look in the face of the most perfect thing you've ever seen in your life. And that is the plan of God for you. And if you want to say yes to that, I encourage you right now where you're sitting, just in the whisper of your heart and in the whisper of your spirit, say yes to God. I just want to say yes, God. I don't even know all of what this means. It's troublesome to me. It makes me fearful. I'm already anticipating my life's going to get disrupted. Maybe my reputation is lost. Maybe I lose friends and relationships over this. But God, I want to say yes. And I want to invite you, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're not a follower of Christ, can I tell you that you don't need to do anything? He loves you just as you are. He wants to meet you exactly where you are. You don't earn grace. You don't have to work for grace. Grace is a gift from God. The Bible says the only thing you have to do is believe that that grace is for you. And the better news is that the Bible says to each one of us has been given a measure of faith. You have enough faith in your life. Even if you feel like you're the most faithless person on the planet, you have a seed of faith in you that will allow you to believe that God's grace is for you and that he desperately wants friendship with you and that he gave everything for you. And that is good news. And if that's you, I want to just pray. And in your heart, you can follow this as your own prayer. God, I don't know maybe anything about you, but I know enough about you that I want to know more. I want to begin a relationship. I want your plan for my life. I don't want to be out there lonely and fighting for purpose and without direction. I want to be significant and meaningful and influential and leave a legacy. And I know that that comes through living as you've created me to live. And so I do believe that what Jesus did was just as much for me as anyone else. And I accept that love. I accept your grace. I receive it into my life. And I want to begin from this day forward to live on purpose, to live on the path that you've laid out in written eons before I even existed. You knew who I would be and you knew my story, and I want to begin to follow that path. We pray all of this as if it's already happened, receiving God in our lives, the good things that you want to birth in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you prayed that last prayer, you can stop by. There's a booth right there called I Raise My Hand right next to the prayer banner. And there is a really cool Bible called the Filament Bible. And you actually use an app with it. It brings everything to life. Very easy to read. And it's got some tiny little booklets that are going to get you started in your new journey in following Christ that are, you'll read them in minutes, not hours. And it's going to help you. It's going to point you to some passages that you can get started with. You don't need to ask anybody. You're allowed to steal today. Just walk up and take that gift from us. Amen. God bless you guys.